So last week, we began our Reboot Heritage series. Heritage's new vision was introduced: relentlessly pursue, authentically cultivate, and lovingly serve. The series is built around the idea of rebooting a computer. Sometimes computers need to be rebooted because it isn't functioning properly. Computers often show an error message to alert us that something is not right. Last week, we looked at the first error message of our Reboot series, which was a lack of vision. For about a decade, purpose for the existence of Heritage was missing. In response to this, we have been rearranging, and now we are restarting Heritage around a new vision. Now let's talk about error message number two. Heritage is no longer creating a group of Christians who pursue God in everyday circumstances. The last generation that Heritage produced are now the ones who are on the stage that are serving you in worship and behind the sound booth. These guys graduated high school about 10 years ago, and you saw a startling statistic last week. Up until last Sunday, Heritage did not baptize a single follower of Jesus since 2008. Heritage has become ineffective in creating new Christians to pursue God. There's been a lack of intentionality and strategy towards helping people to pursue God in their everyday, commonplace lives. Heritage does not have a church culture of pursuing God beyond our Sunday morning experiences. So, as we approach the first part of our vision statement, let's think about what it means to relentlessly pursue God. This word relentless means that something does not relent. It does not give up. It is unyielding. At Heritage, our aim is to create a people who are unyielding in their pursuit of God. We want every person who is connected to our church to have the drive and the desire to see God and pursue Him every day. As a church, we want to come alongside you so that you can become relentless in your pursuit of God, no matter what stage of life you are at. And here's why, and it's our proposition this morning. And it's that pursuing God above all will quench your deepest thirst. As a church, we just came out of studying the Psalms together for 10 weeks. The psalmist knew how to pursue God no matter the circumstance. Their deepest thirst was quenched in God and the Scriptures. The psalmist knew that their pursuit of satisfaction begins and ends with God, which is why they wrote some of the psalms like Psalm 16:11, which says, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forever." Why did they pursue God? They understood that God designed them to seek pleasure. They understood that God wired human beings to be pleasure seekers. And they understood that the deepest and most lasting pleasure is found in God's presence. The psalmists were relentless in their pursuit of God and found their fulfillment in Him. This is why they wrote another psalm, like Psalm 34:8, which says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." The psalmists experienced the goodness of God. And Heritage must become an environment where people can find refuge in God, where anyone can taste and see that He is good. And I know that there may be some here this morning who are skeptical of this proposition. Some may be unsure that God can do this, and some may not even be aware that they even have a thirst. Some may ask, "Can God really quench my deepest thirst?" Now, here's how I picture it, and try to visualize it with me. You've been working outside all day long. It's summertime here in Tampa. It's 99 degrees outside. It's humid, and the air is dripping with moisture. You are experiencing intense dehydration. You are so thirsty, and all you want is a drink to quench your deep thirst. In my home, Tisa makes the best sweet tea. It's better than some of my other favorites like Publix and Chick-fil-A. Now picture this. God is this pitcher of sweet tea. No other substitute will do. Not Gatorade, not Mountain Dew. Sorry, guys. Not lemonade. Not even sweet tea with a sugar substitute. You can taste the difference. So God is this pitcher of sweet tea, and he can pour himself into this glass. And then when you take a sip, man, nothing quenches my thirst in the summertime like my wife's sweet tea. And this is exactly what God can do for you on a spiritual level. So let's get to this morning's text, because we'll find out that we are not the only ones who are skeptical of the satisfaction found in pursuing God. So our text this morning is John 4, and we're going to be in verses 7 to 14. And it says this: "There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman?' For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Now, over the next 2 weeks, we will study the Samaritan woman and how her story can help us pursue God. This was a woman who had her own doubts, just like some of you. But this woman found God while she was going about her daily routine. So here's our first point, is that the Samaritan woman's questions disguised her deepest need. This woman had real issues in her background that kept her from pursuing God. Jesus knew about this all along. His visit to Samaria was not accidental. In the verses before verse 7, Jesus intentionally left Judea to go back to Galilee. Now, Jesus was close to the Jordan River in Judea, and in between Judea and Galilee was a region called Samaria. Now, Galilee was just a short distance straight north from where he was at. But in verse 4, John wrote that Jesus had to pass through Samaria. Now, this doesn't make sense, because going to Samaria meant that Jesus would have to move west, not north. And the Greek word for had means that something is necessary or something is a must. Jesus had to go to Samaria. It was necessary for him to go to Samaria, for there was something he wanted to do. There was a well there, and at some point, there would be a woman who was going to be at that well that he wanted to talk to. So what happens? Verse 6 says that Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. What a verse. Our God, in his humanity, experienced the same fatigue that we do. He was worn out, and he needed to rest by this well. And this is the occasion for our verse 7. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. This woman was the reason Jesus went west instead of north. And from this encounter, we learn that God pursues people. No matter where you are, no matter what stage of life you are at, God pursues you. So, this Samaritan woman was just going about her everyday routine. And what's the first thing Jesus says to her? "Give me a drink." Whoa, excuse me, say again? No please? No introductions? Who is your mama to teach you those manners? Now, John explains in verse 8 that the disciples left Jesus there so that they could go to town and buy food. So Jesus is all alone with this woman at the well. And this is where the woman's questions begin. In verse 9, she asks, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman?" The question revealed a religious issue that masked her needs. What a strange question if you are reading this for the first time. But thankfully, John gives us some extra information. He says at the end of verse 9, "For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And here's what the woman is saying. "Why are you seeking me out? What is your intention? Jews don't seek out Samaritans." And here's why. Samaritans are a mixed ethnic religious group. Their Jewish blood can be traced back to Joseph, son of Jacob. About 500 years before this, a group of people called the Babylonians took over Israel and hauled off most of the Jews into slavery. But some of them stayed in the land. These were the Samaritans. And over the hundreds of years of different empires conquering this land, the Samaritans mixed and they mingled and they married them. And as a result, their ethnicity was different than the Jews. And the way that they related to God was different than the Jews. So Christ intentionally pursued this woman whom the majority of Jews would look down upon. And this is our God. God does not care about what background you came from. This is what the Samaritan woman's story means for us. So let's see how Jesus responded to her questions in verse 10. In verse 10, he says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." This woman cannot see past her circumstances, racial barriers, and questions to see what was right in front of her. And sometimes our own baggage, our own issues and perceptions and upbringings can get in the way of pursuing God and finding fulfillment in him. Here's what Jesus is saying. You don't really know God. If you did, you would know what was right in front of you. So Christ interrupted this woman's daily routine so that he could give her something. Now notice the relationship between the Samaritan woman's asking and Jesus' giving. Jesus said, "If you knew what was right in front of you, you would ask me and I would give you living water." We relentlessly pursue God in the everyday because he wants to give us something. Christ wanted to give this woman living water. And the Greek phrase for living water, it's just literally life and water. Christ has water that can give someone life. But the Samaritan woman cannot see past her questions yet. They have disguised her deepest need, true life in Christ that makes ordinary life purposeful. So in verse 11, the Samaritan woman responds, and she says, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" This woman cannot get past what's right in front of her. How can this man get her living water if he doesn't even have a bucket? Listen to her excuses. Jesus has nothing to draw water with, and the well is way too deep for him to go down there and get it. She is skeptical of what Jesus can give her. And deep down, so are we. This is the real reason why many of us don't pursue God every day. There are too many excuses, and ultimately, we don't think that God can really do it. So we turn back to what we've always done. And this is why our times together at Heritage must ooze with God. It forces us to wake up from the redundancy of our routines. At this point, after she interacts with Jesus, she starts to think that something's up with this guy. And she kind of changes the tone of the conversation. And in verse 12, she says, "You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" The woman is basically saying, "Who do you think you are? You're not better than me. You're not better than those who provided all this for me." Now, Jesus could have stopped the discussion, just given up on her, and went away. He could have allowed the woman to continue on with her ordinary life. But remember, this was his intention. Jesus pursued this woman to disarm her questions and her excuses so she could quench her deepest thirst. And the same goes for us. Some of us must acknowledge the disbelief that's in our hearts that God is really a fountain that can satisfy. Heritage must become a place where God meets your deepest needs. Do we have questions? Of course we do. And as we talked about at Gather last Wednesday, it may all come down to trust. Do we really trust God to satisfy our deepest needs? There may be some this morning who do not think he can. So, we don't want to change our routines, our patterns we've developed to find our own fulfillment in life outside of God. It's so much easier to find fulfillment in my distractions, my substances, my relationships, and trusting a God I cannot see. But what Jesus offers is so much better. And this leads us to point two. It said Jesus offered a superior source of satisfaction. Since the woman cannot see past literal water in a physical well, Jesus makes a contrast to help her see that he is superior. In verse 13, he says, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again." If you only find fulfillment in the literal and physical, you will never be satisfied. Water, it can fulfill a thirst up until you get dehydrated again. The tangible things that we turn to for fulfillment will not last. In verse 14, Jesus said, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." This promise is deeper than Jacob's well. This promise is deeper than any cheap substitute we replace God with. This promise is why we must pursue God in the everyday. Whoever drinks of Jesus will have their spiritual thirst quenched. This woman has had a hard time seeing past her own physical needs to tend to her spiritual needs. The spiritual thirst that we experience can be fulfilled by Christ. But you may think, well, what happens when you get thirsty again? Isn't that the point of thirst? You're thirsty, you drink, you're quenched, and you get thirsty again. But this is what is so superior about Jesus. Not only does he quench thirst better than substitutes, he gives us a constant source to draw from. This water he gives becomes a well of water in us that springs up constantly throughout life. Jesus becomes an overflow for the Christian. Jesus makes Niagara Falls look like a kiddie pool. And this is what's available to the woman and to us every day. Jesus is our fountain forever. He can never be depleted. You can't experience too much of him. And this is why he's a superior source of satisfaction. And the reason Jesus came to the Samaritan woman is to show us that the invitation to drink is for all kinds of people. Later on in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 38, Jesus says this, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." This is an open invitation. It's for Jews. It's for Samaritans. It's for you, your spouse, your children, and your neighbors who are too distracted by substitutes to recognize their true thirst. This is what Heritage must become. Heritage must become a place, a well for those who need to draw and drink from Jesus. If we quench our thirst in Jesus, those who come into contact with us can discover that their thirst can be quenched too. We want Heritage to be a haven for the thirsty. We want you to leave here filled with Jesus so that the water can flow from you and you can share it with others. So, where do we go from here? And that brings us to our application, and it's simple. We must pursue God within our day-to-day experiences. This must be the impact of Heritage's legacy towards those who come here. We must influence individuals to desire God every day and make Him a part of their daily pursuit. If our fellowship cares more for physical thirst and physical fulfillment more than our spiritual fulfillment, then something is amiss. There's another error message. So, how does this happen? How do we pursue God every day? Well, first, Heritage will continue to provide worship and preaching that confronts the hearers with the truth that only Jesus can truly and fully satisfy. The next 2 weeks of Reboot will be about this. Our Sunday worship experiences must make others thirsty for Jesus during the week. Through worship and preaching, God will create wells inside of us to draw water with for any circumstance. Then we must be willing to rethink and to modify our daily routines. Christ didn't engage the Samaritan woman while she was worshiping, or maybe while she was at the synagogue. Jesus pursued her and encountered her during her everyday routine of fetching water for the day's tasks. Like the Samaritan woman, you must pursue and find Jesus within your daily routine. I think Jesus showed up at the well to remind us of how the routine can rob us of joy. Jesus at the well shows us that He can take an ordinary event and turn it into something more. But how does this happen? You need to identify the daily routines that Christ can speak to you in. So, at Gather on Wednesday night, Ryan was talking about how he has started to listen to a Christian talk program on the radio on his way to work. And this is a perfect example of how we can pursue God within our everyday routine. Ryan could be doing a million other things while driving. He could be texting. Well, I hope he isn't. He'd be listening to music, eating breakfast, talking on the phone. But pursuing God within commonplace tasks can be the well that Ryan needs to find God in the everyday. At Heritage, our goal is to create a people who will pursue God relentlessly and persistently without giving up. Ryan could look for God tomorrow morning and try to listen to Him during his drive and not hear from Him. And just because Ryan doesn't hear or doesn't feel God doesn't mean that He's not there. It doesn't mean that he should give up. God wants Ryan and for us to become relentless in our pursuits of Him. This is what He did for the Samaritan woman. Instead of going north to Galilee, Jesus intentionally traveled west to Samaria. And Jesus did this for us. He pursued us by taking on human flesh and becoming one of us. Every day, we must ask God to make us aware of those moments within our day where He can quench our thirst. Like the Samaritan woman, Jesus can take the mundane and turn it into a holy moment. So as we close, we're going to continue to have a response time as Reboot Heritage continues. The response time is just a brief moment that reflects our desire to pursue God. This morning, there may be some in the room that have to acknowledge that their questions and their excuses have disguised their deepest needs. Jesus can really quench your deepest thirst. And like Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, you must have this experience of drinking Jesus. We call this the gospel. The experience of drinking begins by knowing and believing that God can quench your thirst. We don't drink a tall glass of sweet tea because we believe it cannot satisfy. We drink it because we believe. If you have never come to the point of knowing and believing in Jesus, would you do so today? For some of us, we know and we believe in Christ, but for some reason, we have never quenched our thirst in Jesus. We know that He is better than this sweet tea right here on stage, and we have poured that cup, but we've never had the experience of drinking from it. Instead, we kept on drinking substitutes because this is what we were used to. Today, would you make a commitment to drink of Jesus? Would you respond and say, I need the satisfaction that only Christ can give? Would you look at your life, your daily routines, and take out what you have been using to substitute God?